This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I always tell youngsters and friends, you have to look in the eyes of the messenger. What is she or he looking for from you? I'm looking for admiration.
Thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm gonna start off because this audience that you're talking to may actually not know who you are.
Makes sense.
So, who is Gary V?
Gary V is an entrepreneur who was born in the Soviet Union, came to the US as a young kid, lived in a studio apartment with a lot of family members, grinded his way through his youth through lemonade stands and shoveling snow and you know, washing cars, and then ultimately found sports cards, did that very well as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. His father worked real hard and eventually owned a liquor store in New Jersey. I joined that business when I was 14, carrying cases, dusting bottles, realized that people collected wine the way that I collected sports cards. That was the big connection. Decided I wanted to help my family business, felt that I could. And launched an early e-commerce wine business in 1996. Which is crazy to think about,
yeah,
you know,
right?
How hot e-com is now and, you know, something I was doing 23 years ago. And went on to become an entrepreneur that a lot of people look at, wrote 5 New York Times best-selling books, built a huge wine business for my dad, then went on my own with my brother, started and currently run one of the largest marketing agencies in the world called VaynerMedia, independent agencies
right.
in the world.
Right.
Did a really good job investing in early stage startups, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, then became a pretty prolific public speaker and content producer, podcast, blogs, millions of followers across
right.
all the contemporary social networks. And
right. And here you are. I mean, I witnessed, actually I've seen you live a couple of times. So I saw yesterday there was about 5,000 odd people, not yesterday, a few days ago, in Sydney, Australia. So you're definitely, you command an audience. But my first question is not going to go down the direction of business and whatnot. My first question is, see, I like sneakers.
Okay.
I know you like sneakers.
Yeah.
But I also know you hate Jordans.
Yes.
And you actually said you hate Michael Jordan.
That's right.
Why?
Because I grew up a humongous Knicks fan.
Right.
I'm 43 years old, and the prime years of the best Knick years in the 90s, Michael Jordan stopped me from winning a championship. And, you know, me hating Michael Jordan doesn't mean that I don't understand his all-time greatness.
Right.
I don't want to wear Jordans.
Right.
I don't think that's so crazy.
So what, you like?
You know what's crazy about that? I don't even think they look good. Like
so.
it's funny. Like, I don't even like the way they actually look. Like, I mean it. I'm wearing, you know, Air Force Ones right now. Like, I like Air Force Ones visually.
Right.
The Jordans that look more Air Force One-y, I like. The ones that are like kind of like, I don't think people look good in Jordans, to be frank.
Well. You know, there's probably about 50 shoes. So I think I'm gonna.
The
throw
Ewings make me
one,
happy. Yes.
Now this one, I've got it pure.
You're being very nice
for you.
I wore the original versions of those in the 80s. I was like the only kid. Everyone's like wearing Jordans. I'm like wearing Ewings. Yeah. I mean, I kind of think it's funny because a lot of people are so taken aback by my stance on this issue. I think if you're a true fan of a sports team,
yeah.
and your arch rival that you never once beat. The thought of liking that person is ludicrous.
All right, I get your logic.
You know,
I
respect him.
Yeah.
He's in a top three, depending on how you want to argue. Most people put him number one, but I think it's because most people didn't get to watch the complete domination that Wilt Chamberlain put on the league, or Bill Russell, for that matter, winning 9 championships, whatever. But like, you know, yeah, I don't like him.
Okay, all right.
I also hate Tom Brady. Doesn't mean that I don't understand he's the best American quarterback to ever play the sport.
Right.
You
I
know?
I get your logic. All right, let's talk about hustle.
Yes.
This is the primary message you get across to people. You've got to grind 24/7. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But my question is really about, with working that hard, as a you know, every human being comes into the point where you've got to strike a balance, or people say you've got to strike a balance.
I think you do. I think early, you know, I kind of hit the scene in 2009.
Yeah.
And we were in a global economy meltdown.
Right.
And we were living off of a frothy 2000 to 2007, eight. And I thought that people were underestimating work ethic. Mm. And so yes, hustle was something that I was articulating as a foundation of my success. But I only think one should work a lot if they genuinely enjoy it.
Right.
You know, or they have to. Mm-hmm. Provide for their family and are working two jobs, and it's almost the extreme in the other way. I'd like to do a better job over the next decade to make sure that my primary message is happiness.
Right.
I mean that.
Right.
That being said, in the extreme overcorrection where people have started branding things like hustle porn or things of that nature, hard work is part of the equation.
Yeah.
But yes, I think burnout or mental anguish is something I'm very scared of, but I do not believe that comes from, I think a lot of people put hard work as the gateway to that issue. I actually think that that is insecurity and lack of self-esteem that leads to that anguish.
So my follow-up question with that comment is quite simply, you know, there is quite an interest, and it's a very popular thing, it's the cool thing to do, become an entrepreneur.
Ugh.
Right? Everyone wants to be an entrepreneur.
100%.
You know, like when I was at this event where you spoke, there's about 5,000 people, and I can see everyone wants to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Do you think there's a danger?
Yes.
Because not everyone is cut out to
yes.
be an entrepreneur. Okay. So how do you tell somebody that, you know, they've been hustling as hard as they can, but something's not working out? How does one figure out when to give up?
I ask them if they're happy.
Right.
You know, like if you're hustling your podcast and through sheer will, through live events and pre-roll advertisers, and you're making $42,000 a year, if that's more fun and you're happier than making $78,000 being, you know, an accountant, then I try to encourage that person to live the lifestyle of a $42,000 year person versus a $78,000 year person. I think we have to define our own success. And I think doing what you want to be doing is the ultimate.
Right.
Now,
there's the practical application of, like, you know, you got to look after family.
Yes,
you got to do all these kind of things, right?
That's a modern mistake in that people usually spend more than they make. Mm. There's a lot of immigrants who take care of their family making $35,000 a year. The problem is there's a lot of people who make $200,000 a year and live like they're making $300,000 a year,
right.
Because they want to keep up with the Joneses and they want stuff.
Right. Yeah. I know.
I mean, you can live a lot of ways.
You know, that's one way to be.
Family. I once lived 2 years with my great grandparents and my grandparents and my parents in a home. You could do that.
Yeah.
Especially 25-year-olds who are like complaining. Go live with 7 of your buddies. In a shit place. Like, I'm fascinated by people's misunderstanding of, it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, if you take fucking Uber and order out every night and need the freshest fucking flyest flexiest clothes, you're gonna need a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
Why not take the train?
Right.
Why not live in a shitty spot? Mm. Why not cook every night? Like, people are fucking entitled.
I get it. Okay, so this leads into the economy, which is that we operate in. It's capitalism. It's the economic system.
Yes.
Is capitalism a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade. meaning, here's what I mean by that.
Right.
I've spent very little time understanding the macro global economic impact of capitalism versus viable other options. I can tell you that communism is not good.
I agree.
Because I lived in it. Let me rephrase, I left early. I understand it through the eyes of my parents and relatives, and I think it suppresses the natural human. I think extreme capitalism that concentrates wealth to a small group is bad. Because I think that leads to the French Revolution and heads start rolling.
Yeah, right.
So I think capitalism, I think anything in life is good when it's balanced.
Yep.
I think modern capitalism is showing strains of vulnerability because there's too much consolidation of wealth to too small of a group, which I always think is a vulnerability.
How would you respond to somebody if they were to say capitalism is just evil and it's ultimately geared to fail?
My intuition when I hear somebody go that extreme is that they are deeply ideological and deeply entitled and have an undertone of laziness.
What do you mean entitled?
They expect the fucking government or somebody else who's working hard to pay for some of their subsidies. That's what I mean. If they say it's inherently evil and will fail.
Right.
If someone says capitalism, like any system, has its shortcomings and should be audited in its current state, I would say that that's somebody who's being thoughtful.
Okay. Yeah. So what would you say to, you know, there's lots of business mentors or people who spruik, you know, people tell people how to make money when they say things like, you know, by any means necessary.
Yeah.
You know, get rich or die trying.
Yeah, I don't like that shit.
How do you, you know, it can be very appealing. You know, you watch some of these videos, as you put it, it's very, very enticing. And people sort of get drawn to that. How does one look beyond the sort of the...
Pay attention to what the person's asking for from you.
Right. Yeah.
I always tell youngsters and friends, you have to look in the eyes of the messenger. What is she or he looking for from you? I'm looking for admiration.
Okay.
My content is not a top of the funnel to some landing page that is asking you for $899 for my ebook.
Why is admiration important to you?
I'm not sure. Right. It's something that I'm spending a lot of time on. It feels naturally good.
Right.
I think it's a DNA trait.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm sure it inherently is, you know, if I go deep, I think about things like, man, my family was going through a ton of shit the first 5 years of my life. You know, maybe they were so focused on everything, like getting to the new world, that maybe I was looking, but I got over coddled and loved too. Like, I'm not sure,
yeah, right.
But I promise you that I want admiration over money.
Right.
That has become very clear to me. I'm not against money.
Sure.
But if I was to choose, like, my ability to have the biggest mastermind, the biggest funnel, the biggest fund, give me some of your money, I could win that game at the highest level. Number one, more than anyone.
Sure.
Because I have gift of conversation.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm charismatic as fuck. It's the
and
truth.
And self-aware, obviously.
Clearly. So I'm not sure.
Right.
But when I hear what you're talking about, if the next sentence of, you know, make money, die trying, if the next sentence is, and if you pay me, then I'm already checked the fuck out.
Yeah, right. So how do you get out of the mindset, and I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs do this, where, you know, you start doing something and you're not really sure about it, but it starts making money. And then you make excuses. You may be doing something ethically and morally questionable.
I hate that shit.
But you convince yourself, right? How do you get out of
that? I see it every day.
You know, what would you say to somebody like, you know what you're doing? Because we are very good at convincing ourselves, look, you know, at the end of the day, this is paying for this. I'm just going to do it for a short time. Many reasons. But people sort of keep doing that. Because I know people who...
Oh, I know unlimited people who do this.
Right.
This is a very good question by you. The answer is that person is flawed.
Right.
The question is why?
Why?
My belief is it's because they're insecure and they need stuff to make themselves feel good, to show others that they're successful. Because they're not happy with themselves.
Yeah, right.
And they need jewelry and success and cars and girls and planes to show everybody that they're winning because they're not winning with themselves.
And add social media to that equation where you get social validation on every given second.
Yep, but social media is, that person was looking for that validation pre-internet.
But social media just supercharged it for this person, right?
No, I'm actually a dissent to this voice.
Sure.
I think social media has exposed the truth of, not accelerated. That person was flexing in the office.
But now they got millions of people around the world admiring that flexing.
Yeah, but it's the same fucking game. Whether you're trying to floss in front of 8 or 8 million, you're still vulnerable to the floss.
Sure. But the influence of you doing it at an office in front of 8 million people is enormous. You're pretty much tuning the minds of another generation.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but the reality is why? And what are you trying to do for yourself?
True.
You know, I don't find a lot of those people being thoughtful about what they're doing for the next generation. They're too inherently selfish.
Absolutely.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All right, so.
I don't think was overthinking about what he was doing for the next generation.
No, he's not.
I think, and by the way, me and everybody else, like, I think people are doing what they think is what they want to be doing.
Yeah. But you at least have a conscious acknowledgement of you want admiration, and to do that you have to be good.
Correct.
Right? So you are doing good. But you know,
yes,
people,
but for me that's what makes me happy, and I don't have any interest in judging somebody who wants to fuck every night.
Yeah.
I don't have any judgment on somebody who wants $1 billion in cash.
Sure.
I struggle with judgment. Mm-hmm. But to your point, I will only use the word luck, and I hate using that word. Luckily for me, I was structured in a way where what I want is inherently selfless.
Right.
Cool, but that leads to gratitude more than judgment.
Yeah.
More than looking around at everybody else and judging them, I just stay in my own head of being grateful for what I had.
All right. Cool, man. So there are also entrepreneurs that, you know, have access to mentors and getting advice.
Yes.
Not just the online stuff, but there are lots of programs all around the world as well. But can an entrepreneur get too much advice from various sources and be confused?
Of course. It's why I don't have any mentors.
So you never had a mentor?
The market is my mentor.
Right.
I don't want to listen to anybody who did it before. I need to listen to what the consumer wants now.
Right. I mean, I think Nassim Taleb says getting advice from somebody who's already done it, like getting yesterday's lottery ticket numbers.
Plus, most people give advice. Again, another thing that I'm excited about is I'm trying to reverse engineer people, mm-hmm. not tell them to be like me.
Right.
I know I'm inherently different, like we all are. And so advice often is too one-dimensional. I think this is a big game. I try to push people towards self-awareness. Mm. More so than doing it like me.
Yeah, all right. Because what you...
I apologize, I want to just add one more point because I think it's interesting. I also think that most people that become mentor thirsty are actually using it as an excuse not to do. By paying or by always educating, it's just the same version of somebody who just keeps going to school. Those who keep loving going to school are ones that don't want to do.
Okay.
So a lot of people feel, it's why I fear people watching too much of my content. There's a lot of people who think watching or listening to my content is them actually doing something.
So they are vicariously living their life through you.
They're getting that adrenaline rush through my energy and my advice, and they think they're building. Mm-hmm. They're building, but they're not acting on, which is why occasionally I get very aggressive and kind of call them out and say, stop watching my shit.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Enough.
Right.
The problem is, after doing that for the last 5 years, I realized something terrible is happening. When I do that, they don't like that. They're like, fuck, you fucked me up. And then they go listen to somebody worse. I thought I was getting them to do shit, but then I started looking at what was happening and I'm like, wait a minute, now they're paying some huckster. Instead of getting good advice for free, they're paying a fucking low life money because I made them uncomfortable because I called them out on their shit and they don't want to do.
So
they're so not interested in doing that they're willing to pay somebody who sucks shit. That's what these piranhas are doing.
So tell me something. So this is the world you operate in. But the reason that, you know, we wanted to talk to you is you are a bit different to everybody else in this particular world because you got nothing to sell and you're telling people, you know, my advice is free, etc. But you operate in that sort of that world. can you change that world? Or
yes.
How do you plan to do that?
By showing that it could be done.
Right. All right.
I mean, there's a 13-year-old now who's going to be impacted by me, who's going to decide to replicate the way I did it versus the way somebody who's the bad version of me doing it. You need somebody to be the example.
Yeah, sure. No, I agree.
Right?
I agree. Absolutely.
I have enormous pride in the fact that I'm putting enormous pressure. I'm unbelievably disliked quietly by many of the biggest personalities that look like me because I'm putting pressure.
Because I remember being at an event where you came up on stage and said, whatever the other guy was selling, don't buy it. Something along those lines, which is...
Yeah, I mean, by accident, I caught the last 10 minutes prepping. It just is bullshit.
Yeah, right, I get it.
I'm super not interested in the, it's normally $15,000, but for these 4 minutes, it's $89.
Yeah.
The fuck?
All right, so we're running out a bit of time. So
yes.
I want to end on a lighter note. I want your honest input. I'm not gonna, I'll give you a bit more information. I'm gonna show you a few things.
Okay.
I want your honest input on these things. These are some interesting business ideas that's out there. These are legitimate businesses.
Okay. These bottles of air cost $115 each.
Somebody's in for a treat with this pure air.
It's called air farming. There's no digging, planting, or harvesting.
Should I answer on the air stuff? Or is it the same thing?
So this is another business. So you have
pure air.
Yeah, pure air.
The air pollution is very heavy now in China, so we all have the pure air from Australia.
Each can holds upwards of 130 deep breaths. Take the lid off, put the lid on the end, and they take a deep breath of pure air.
Look, here's what I would say about this. Somebody 50 years, 60 years ago said, let's sell bottled water. Water is free in pretty much most of the modern world, obviously first world countries. It would have been a laughable thought. I'm not remarkably excited about that product, and obviously every scam spidey sense goes off. I'm also very aware that I failed all my science classes, and I don't know how to put it together to think if there's any merit to that. I would never buy those things.
Yeah, right, right.
And I wouldn't fund them.
No. Okay.
But I have wanted to sell oxygen. That has run through my mind.
Oxygen,
it feels
is
like it feels
right?
The closest thing to water.
So this one is not oxygen. I mean, there's this part there where there's a lady's going around and catching.
Yeah, that is like crazy shit.
Let's get to the next one. Have you heard of the Gamer Girl?
Yes.
And you know what she's selling, right? She's selling that bath water.
Yeah. I mean, this is a weird version of porn.
Wait, this went so well for her?
Yeah.
She's now announced she's selling chewed gum?
Yeah.
And you want to guess what that is?
Pee?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look.
It's $10,000 for the jar of pee.
That is 100% pornography. Like, people clearly have interesting fetishes. There's a weird part of me that actually wishes I had a weird one, because it'd be just interesting to understand why that would be exciting. I think I'm more conservative sexually, but you know, she's selling. That's a form of pornography, and I think sex sells. That makes sense to me. It doesn't, you know, for example, I'm very attracted to girls that have chicken pox scars on their face. This is real.
Right. Okay.
I have my whole life, like, have recognized if I'm close enough, I'm like, oh, you have a chicken pox mark? Like, I think that's cute. I don't think that's a normal thing.
I don't think so either.
But that would be on my radar. That was the thing I liked. So I think that's porn, which is great. Porn sells.
All right. So the next one is... You pay money to be hugged.
I like that. I'd be into that shit. I would do that.
You pay money to do that.
I would do that. I like hugging. A lot, actually.
Okay. But you like?
I would do that.
Okay, all right. Okay, there's a legitimate business in there.
You know what's funny? Watching those two people hugging
That's
made me feel nice. Like in my, like I felt warm just now. I love hugging. I would pay for that.
Okay. All right, next one.
The Invisible Boyfriend is an app that launched this year that allows you to text an imaginary partner.
Funny. Yes.
With more than 50,000 profiles created so far, the app promises to provide the perfect cover for all those annoying questions and singletons.
I like this.
It's a legitimate business.
I like that one.
But do businesses like this have longevity? Or?
If they pivot.
If they pivot. What does that mean?
They have to build on top of that interest.
Right.
That becomes right. That's a novelty.
Right.
That will wear off, but it could be a gateway drug to something bigger. That could be the biggest dating app in the world.
Right.
That could be what disrupts Tinder.
Right.
You see where I'm going?
Okay.
So you start with it's a gateway drug. You start with a novelty. Mm. It seems like it's a novelty, but you see where the innovation is?
One more video before
please
we finish off.
Every day across Australia, an enterprise worth more than $1 billion is quietly operating, and it's all run by people called Daigo. Daigo are Chinese living abroad who are trusted to buy on behalf of their friends, families,
have you heard of this?
And extended network
yes
back in China. They are also known as professional shopping agents.
Yeah, I like this.
$2 billion industry.
This, I'm a very big buyer of this.
Right.
What started out as a quiet Chinese whisper in our supermarket aisles.
Look at this.
Australia's infant formula fight is now every bit.
So what's happened is they're buying off, it started off as the formula, children's formula, and they were running out. There weren't enough for locals. And it became, locals became very, very frustrated. They started recording and... And they introduced like one per person.
Yeah.
But then there's a group of people that'll come in by one at
yeah
a time.
I'm a fan of that. I think retail arbitrage is one of the most interesting businesses in the world.
Right, right.
It's just logistics.
Yeah, it's just logistics.
It's just logistics.
Alright, man, look, I know your time is quite valuable. I really appreciate you taking the time.
I'm happy to
I
do
hope
it.
You, I hope you enjoyed
it. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Man.
You did a great
thank
job.
You.
Thank you, mate.
Appreciate it.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks so much, Gary. Today's amazing five-star review reads, "This podcast is amazing. The content is game-changing and helps me grow 1% better every single day. Thank you, Gary." Now, thank you for that amazing review. And to anybody else listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.